بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان الله أو بلبد صلى الله عليه وسلم استنتاج رحمة للعالمين a guidance for humanity salvation for humanity he came with all the solutions may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help humanity come to this truth and may Allah enable us as Muslims to fulfill our duty and responsibility in making this beautiful deen available to humanity Sahaba's lives show us this. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's involvement in the different aspects of their life. Imagine a man by the name of Rashid radiallahu an. He's known as Abu Athila. So we want to mention him and an interesting event in the life of his daughter radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He says, my name was Zalim. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named me Rashid. Now, Zalim has a negative connotation. Oppressive. One who oppresses others. Usurps the rights of others. And subhanAllah, in Islam, we are taught to fulfill the rights of Allah Ta'ala and the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we are answerable for both. Part of repentance and tawbah is to regret our wrong, be determined and try our best never to return to that wrong. Obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And if we make mistakes, we ask Him again and again and again. He is most merciful, kind and compassionate. And then we pay the dues of who we owe. And when it comes to our fard and wajibat, we perform them and fulfill them. If we owe anyone, we have to pay them and ask them for maaf. If we can't pay them at this moment or whatever, ask them for more time and so forth. But we have to come out clear. Especially this aspect, when we explain to people out there that Islam teaches us to fulfill the rights of others. And concerning falling short, concerning the rights of others, is something we are answerable for on Judgment Day. Meaning we usurped the rights of others, or belittled others, mocked others, violated their rights. SubhanAllah, this has a profound effect on them. So we should share this with them. And also when we told someone something wrong openly, we should go and correct ourselves. That's also a beautiful teaching. Alhamdulillah. And we learn from the life of Hazrat Umair radiallahu anhu, when he embraced Islam, he requested Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's permission to go to Makkah and to invite the people to Allah and to change. And those who did wrong, he wanted to tell them the truth. And those who he harmed, he wanted to now make right. Wherever he walked with falsehood, he wanted to walk there with haqq. What a beautiful, encouraging practice. SubhanAllah. Hazrat Umair radiallahu anhu. Back to Hazrat Rashid radiallahu anhu. His name was Zalim. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are Rashid bin Abdullah. He says, I was responsible for the idol of the Banu Sulaym tribe. The name of the idol was Suwa'. He says, my idol was in this vicinity called Ma'lat. And then, subhanAllah, he changed his life. And he understood thereafter that idolatry cannot help us. And this is the beautiful teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he used to teach the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum. In Makkah Mukarramah, he used to say to the people that why worship something one manufactured with their own hands? There's an amazing incident where two Sahaba who come from Medina Munawwara, and this is still in the early Meccan stage, where they came for pilgrimage, and when they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his approachability and his kindness, and he was so kind to them that they asked him, are you the one they speak of? The two Sahaba were Rifa'a radiallahu anhu, Rifa'a bin Rafi' Zuraqi, and Mu'adh bin Harith radiallahu anhu. They weren't Muslim at the time, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a polite manner, with approachability, he said to them, yes, they speak of me. So this was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq, where he portrayed this truth to every person. When he was insulted in public by the man from the Banu Salama tribe, and also when he was insulted by Zayd bin Sa'na, subhanAllah, the forbearance of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his akhlaq, impeccable, par excellence. Here the Meccans are condescending concerning our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he's so polite, he's so kind. This is how he portrayed the truth. Even when those youth were mimicking and mocking the adhan, Aws Abu Mahdura radiallahu anhu and his friends, he says, we were mocking the adhan, and the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for us, and he very politely spoke to us that whose voice was it, and he taught us correctly.
So many a time people don't know the truth. Let us make the truth clear to them. Just yesterday, meeting people in one area, most were non-Muslims, and then there were few elderly local Zulu ladies, and I got speaking to them about the oneness of Allah. Automatically, one of the elderly ladies said that she's saying to the one next to her who was deaf that he's talking about Jesus. So I said, ma'am, let me clarify. I'm speaking about the Almighty God, the one creator who created Jesus. Anyway, that was another long discussion with them, how all the messengers of Allah, even Isa alayhi salam, even Jesus Christ, worshipped one God. He called to one God. He sought the assistance of one creator. And then who came before him was Musa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, Noah alayhi salam. They all worshipped one God, one Allah. But look how much has been the effort of the missionaries, that this is local people, the elderly, but the Christians have indoctrinated this into their minds, that sometimes you tell them about one God, automatically their minds go to Jesus Christ, because this has been indoctrinated into them. But we as Muslims have to portray the truth to the world. Every one of us have to try, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us. Allah will make it happen. Here, these two, when they saw Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, yes, they speak of me. And he offered his services to them. What can I do for you? You are here in Makkah, Mukarramah. So they said, we need a safe place for our conveyance, that it may be kept safely. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'll carry out that service for you. And as he was taking their conveyances to place it in safekeeping, he then addressed them, saying, that tell me, I have a few questions for you. Answer me honestly. They said, yes, we will. He said, the sky above us, who created it? And they deliberated and pondered, and they said, no, definitely it is the Almighty, the Allah who you speak of. Because they knew he's talking about, is it idolatry, the idols that they worship, or is it Allah who he calls to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they answered honestly, it is Allah. Then tell me, this earth we live on, who created this earth? They pondered, deliberated. They said, no, what you're saying is correct. It is Allah. Then sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what about the mountains that you see? Who created those mountains? They said, no, Allah created the mountains. And then he asked them, what about you and I? Who created us? They deliberated, they pondered, they said, no, Allah created us. So now, each time, and this is from the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, ask them, who created the heavens and the earth? And in the incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Allah teaches us how Ibrahim alayhi salam worked with the idolaters of his community, how he advocated the truth to his father, how he tried to make a plan, وَتَاللَّهِ لَأَكِيدَنَّ أَصْنَامَكُمْ بَعْدَ أَن تُوَلُّوا مُدْبِرِينَ, to open their minds, to make them think, that how can man-made, manufactured things be worshipped? Isn't that defiance and ingratitude and ungratefulness to the Creator, to the Maker who made us? So Allah's beloved asked them, who created us? Yes, indeed, it is the same being you speak of and call to and advocate for. Okay, then tell me, who then manufactured those idols that they worship? Now, basically, you can understand the scenario, the context. They were quite stumped, but they said, yes, that is us. So the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them a lesson, that shouldn't we be worshipping the being who made us and created us and be loyal to him? And what we manufactured should not be worshipped by us. That should have rather been loyal to us. So Allah's beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the truth to every person. Hazrat Rashid used to care for his idol. He used to maintain the idol. Suwa', there was a Sahabi in Medina Munawwara, Hazrat Amr bin Jamuh, radiallahu anhu. He used to maintain his idol, Manat. These were names that they gave to their idols, like Manat comes from the word aspiration. So they felt that, no, your aspirations will be fulfilled there. Munya, Umniya, or they shed blood, sacrifice an animal there by the idol, and so forth. That incident is quite interesting, how the children, Khalid, Mu'adh, Mu'awwad, Khalad, رضي الله عنهم, the four brothers and their mother, Hazrat Hind binti Amr bin Haram رضي الله عنها, worked on their father, Hazrat Amr bin Jamuh. How they slowly worked on him, trying to inspire him, trying to open his heart and his mind to understand the truth in Islam. They were inspired by Hazrat Mus'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they made an effort, and alhamdulillah, finally their fathers came to the truth. Their father came to the truth.
Hazrat Rashid mentions that when Makkah Mukarramah was conquered, he says Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pointing to the idols and they were collapsing. So there's some reports where Sahaba were pushing the idols down in Makkah Mukarramah, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pushed it with his stick. But Hazrat Rashid says Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed to it and it collapsed. So both could have happened, that putting both the reports together, that happened also and this happened also. That makes it that there's no contradiction. And then Hazrat Rashid, because each one narrated what they saw, and Hazrat Rashid then says, I rendered these words. These are amazing words to inspire us towards chastity. And that's the beauty of Islam. Islam teaches chastity. These were among the poems Hazrat Rashid composed and rendered. So he says, قالت هلم إلى الحديث فقلت لا قالت هلم إلى الحديث فقلت لا يأبى عليك الله والإسلام لو ما رأيت محمدا وقبيله بالفتح حين تكسر الأصنام بالفتح حين تكسر الأصنام أو بالفتح حين تكسر الأصنام لرأيت دين الله لرأيت نور الله أضحى ساطعا والشرك يغشى وجهه الإظلام.
So he says, she says, come, let's chat, let's talk, let's discuss.
So what he seems to be referring to is, if a woman out of wedlock calls you to talk, to chat, and spend time in that lustful discussion with woman out of wedlock, he says, what I should say as a Muslim, now I'm a Muslim, I say, Allah doesn't allow this, Islam doesn't allow this, out of wedlock, to be chit-chatting with the opposite sex, Allah Ta'ala, save us. And then he says, I would say, if you only saw my sister, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Loma Shahidti, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his companions on the occasion of Fath, the conquest of Makkah, when the idols went down crumbling, you would have definitely seen the Noor of Allah shining forth brightly, and you would have seen Shirk and its reality being covered and overwhelmed in darkness. Now these words are quoted from Hazrat Rashid radiallahu anhu, but very similar words are the words of another Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Fadala. Hazrat Fadala bin Umair al-Laythi al-Mulawwah radiallahu anhu. So he said the words when Makkah Mukarramah was conquered also. But this Sahabi, interestingly, at first pretended to be Muslim. And then he awaited Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the tawaf. And then he says, I followed Allah's beloved, hiding a dagger inside my shawl, waiting for the opportune moment to murder him cold-bloodedly. But then he turned to me, and I had this dagger concealed. But he said to me, Fadala, what are you planning? ماذا كنت تحدث به نفسك? What are you conversing in your heart? What are you discussing in your mind? So he says, I got shocked. I said, oh, nothing, nothing at all. I was just making dhikr. So Allah's beloved then turned to me and made dua for me. And then I really changed my life, being in his company. And from here we learn, imagine the effect of pious company, of righteous company. And this is the most righteous, the best of the best company, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's company. So subhanallah. That's why Allah give us all tawfiq. The way pious company can change us. We all should aspire to sit with the pious, to be with the righteous. Alhamdulillah. Here, he's in the company of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he really changed his life.
Now he is going home, and there was a friend of his who wasn't his wedded wife, but in the past they would spend time, a female, and pass time together and chat and spend time in an illicit relation. But this was the past. So she approaches him and calls him, come, let's chat together, let's discuss together, let's enjoy each other's company like we would do. So he then rendered these same words. So either he heard these words from Hazrat Rashid and he now renders them. And subhanAllah, how opportune, where it exactly fits in this context, where he quotes as he walks away from her and he says, Hazrat Fadala says, radiallahu anhu, قالت هلم إلى الحديث فقلت لا قالت هلم إلى الحديث فقلت لا يأبى عليك الله والإسلام لو ما رأيت محمدا وجنوده بالفتح حين تكسر الأصنام لرأيت نور الله أصبح بينا والشرك يغشى وجهه الإظلام. And in Sirah ibn Hisham, he quotes it like this: لَرَأَيْتِ دِينَ اللَّهِ أَضْحَى بَيِّنَا وَالشِّرْكُ وَالشِّرْكَ يَغْشَى وَجْهَهُ الْإِظْلَامُ. Allahu Akbar. Where he says, she calls me to chat, to speak out of wedlock, and I refuse. And I say that Allah doesn't allow this. Allah doesn't want me to be with a woman out of wedlock, in an illicit relation. I have changed my life. Nikah I can do, but out of nikah, this is not permissible. SubhanAllah. Interestingly, there's an incident where a Jewish woman saw the blessed father of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is rahmatul lil alameen, the greatest of Allah's creation. SubhanAllah. The paragon of Allah's creation. But this Jewish woman who sees the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father Abdullah, and she spotted the noor on the face of Abdullah. Subhanallah. Allah made him the transmission from whom Allah ta'ala sent the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into this dunya. So Allah chose Abdullah. Allah chose Amina, the womb, subhanallah, where our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into this world. So this Jewish woman said to Abdullah that, be with me. And she wanted Abdullah to come into her. But Abdullah refused and said, أَمَّا الْحَرَامُ فَالْمَمَاتُ دُونَهُ أَمَّا الْحَرَامُ فَالْمَمَاتُ دُونَهُ. As for out of wedlock, I'd rather die than perpetrate something so despicable. SubhanAllah. So Allah preserved the lineage, the Mubarak lineage of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That from Adam alayhi salam to our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanAllah, Allah preserves. SubhanAllah, Allah preserved his family. Allah preserved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sahaba kiram, radiallahu anhum, alihi wa ashabihi ajma'een. So, the entire lineage of Rasulullah, the forefathers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all were nikah and never sifah, never out of wedlock. Here his father was approached by this Jewish woman. But after Abdullah wedded Hazrat Amina bint Wahab from the Zuhra clan. SubhanAllah. This Jewish woman again met Abdullah and had a discussion where she said that there was this noor in you that's extraordinary. That was extraordinary. But she noticed that it wasn't there anymore. And she realized that that noor had now been transferred and had been taken where it was supposed to. And where is that? In the womb of Hazrat Amina. So Hazrat Fadala radiallahu anhu said, if you only saw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba on the occasion of Fath, you would have also changed your life. You would have seen the beauty of Islam, the noor of Allah, and you would see the actual mask and darkness of shirk and kufr.